Well, scripture this morning records for us one of the most spectacular and astounding miracles that our Lord Jesus ever performed. In the early hours of the morning, in the middle of the sea, with the disciples stuck going in circles, the wind and the waves against them, suddenly, immediately, they see the Lord Jesus walking on the water, walking atop the waves, untroubled, and he comes to them. This is an incredible miracle. Perhaps if you're familiar with these stories, it's easy for it to lose some of its impact, but try and imagine this, take this in. Here he is walking on the water. It's impossible, humanly speaking. So what are we to make of this amazing miracle? What does it reveal to you about Jesus? Well, at the end, the disciples say in awe, they fall down before him and they say, "Truly he is the Son of God." That is the astounding truth that's revealed in this miracle. And even if you don't take anything else from the sermon this morning, that's the greatest part of the message. Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. And that is what is proven, demonstrated to us. He's the one sent by God. He's the one who is Lord of creation, of heaven and earth. He is the Son who inherits the earth. Everything is his. He is God come into his creation to save us. And above all, the Bible records this miracle so that you and I will join with the disciples and say, "Jesus, you really are the Son of God." And especially if anyone here is, perhaps if you're not a Christian, I would challenge you to look at this amazing miracle and to put your faith in him. But when you look at some of the details in the Gospel's account, there are some questions that might arise. Because there's a lot about this that's mysterious. That the Lord acts in a very mysterious way. Why does he send the disciples away at first? Did you notice that? He commands them. He makes them get in the boat and go on ahead of him. And so seemingly he's sending them into trouble. Now why is he doing that? Why isn't he with them? And then, instead of being with them all along, why does he then come in this extraordinary way, walking on the water? I mean, you see the effect it had on the disciples. They're terrified. They think he's a ghost or a spirit. Why is he acting this way? And then another mystery is Peter, never one to be shy, always looks before he leaps. And the Lord commands him to come out onto the water. Now why? What's going on here? Why is the Lord doing these extraordinary but mysterious things? I know it's become maybe a little bit of a cliche, the Lord works in mysterious ways, but you could really say that about this miracle. And that's what I want us to look at, some of these mysteries. Because in fact, the real answer to them is wonderful. It was all for the disciples' benefit. That the Lord was teaching them to trust him. That's at the heart of why these things are the way they are. He was teaching the disciples to trust him. And so, of course, it is for our benefit as his disciples too. He's teaching us to trust him, even when it seems impossible. Even when you're in an impossible situation, to trust him. So if you look with me at verse 22... the first mystery is, why does the Lord send everyone away? You remember we've just seen last week that this is after the feeding of the 5,000. But then immediately, the Lord sends them all back to their homes. And he sends the disciples who travel with him on ahead across the lake. That seems rather strange. It's not what you'd expect, having just if you've just heard that story of the 5,000. And then verse 23 mentions that some time passes. And so presumably the Lord sent everybody away in the afternoon, and the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is not very big. It would take you, in their day, perhaps a couple of hours to get across it on a boat. Especially, you know, some of these disciples, they're experienced fishermen. And yet, verse 25 tells us, it's got to the early hours of the morning, the fourth watch of the night. So we're talking like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So, understand, the disciples have been out there in the boat for like 12 hours plus. They're really stuck. When it says that the winds and the waves are against them, they are really struggling. They must be exhausted by this point. They're actually in some danger. They're in real difficulty. They're being tossed around, stuck in going around in circles, and must be some pretty rough weather. And I'm sure it must have brought back memories to them of the storm that almost sank them just a short time earlier. You remember we saw that in chapter 8? But what's the great difference this time? Jesus isn't with them. He was in the boat last time. They could wake him up and he's not there. He's alone on the mountain. He seems to have sent them off into this danger all alone. Now, as we've been going through the gospel, that just seems such a strange thing. We have seen the Lord's constant care for these disciples. How he loves them. How he attends to them and protects them. And now, he just seems to have sent them off into trouble. Now, I wonder, have you ever felt like that as a Christian? Have you ever had to face a time of trouble or difficulty or temptation or the devil's attacks and many different metaphorical storms that come in the Christian life, and perhaps you feel stuck? But then you look around and you wonder, where is the Lord in all of this? At times he might seem like he's even very far away. I seem to be stuck in a particular difficulty, and I pray and I'm looking and I'm crying out, but where are you, Lord? What's going on here? Have you ever felt like that? And that can be very troubling as a Christian. Because you might expect that when you first hit a problem that you'll pray and look for God's help and he's just going to solve the problem straight away. Or that you'll just be blessed with some amazing sense of his presence. And then you think, why is that not there? Why am I going around in circles in this difficulty? Has the Lord left me? And knowing them, I'm pretty sure these are some of the worries and doubts the disciples were having that moment. And sometimes as a Christian, you go through that and you think, the Lord acts in very mysterious ways. Now, what's the Lord teaching us in those moments? Well, really, the same lesson he's teaching the disciples here. Christian, you are never alone. You are never alone as one of his people. He is always watching over you and is with you. And you can trust him. Trust him even in that moment. Where was the Lord? He's on the mountain. He can see everything that's going on. And he's praying. Now he's enjoying communion with his Father. He's showing us what a priority personal, private prayer needs to be for all of us with God. But much more than that, who's he praying for? Who's he praying for? He's praying for the disciples. He is effectually bringing their names before God, interceding for them. Let me put it this way. Is there any safer place to be than in the prayers of Jesus? The storm doesn't seem so scary now when you look at it from that perspective. Is there any safer place to be than in the prayers of Jesus? And when you think about the Lord, they're on the mountain praying. Doesn't that lead us to think of where the Lord is now? Because this is one of the greatest encouragements that the Bible gives us, is that our Lord Jesus is alive in heaven, even higher and far above any earthly mountain. And he's in the glory above. And what is he doing? What does the Bible tell us he's doing in Romans 8 or in the book of Hebrews? He's praying for us, his church, interceding for us, bringing our names to God. He's there at the right hand of the Father, the position of ultimate power over the universe. And he's there, even if you perhaps aren't aware of it and aren't seeing it, Christian. Your faithful Savior is there, and he is watching over you. If I could put it this way, Christian, you are never far from your Savior's heart. You know, the high priest of Israel, in the old covenant, he had the names of the 12 tribes engraven on jewels on his breastplate, so that whenever he goes into the presence of God, he's carrying the names of God's people before God. Well, our Lord Jesus has the names of his people written on his heart. And he's bringing us there before God in heaven constantly. What's the first thing he's teaching the disciples? To trust him. To trust him. And even if they can't see him, even if they're stuck in a storm for a time, trust him. Because then he suddenly comes. Unexpectedly, it's like he's right there, so close to them. And again, haven't you found, Christian, that's often the way in your troubles? That even if for some time there's been a lack of God's presence, it seems like you're stuck, and he's just been waiting for that right moment in his perfect wisdom, and suddenly you will find he's there, and the situation changes. Suddenly prayer is answered, and suddenly Christ makes himself known, and his presence is there. Haven't you found that, Christian? This is the first thing. Why is he acting this way? Because he's teaching us to trust him, that he's watching over us and he is with us. But then there's the mystery of the miracle itself. Now, it's important to say, be in no doubt, this happened. This is not some embellishment or fable. This is not some made-up story or legend. These disciples are eyewitnesses. They see him walking on the sea. But why? Why come this way? I mean, it's an unusual miracle. If you think about most of the Lord's wonders, there was something like natural about them. He's healing and setting people free. That's the vast majority of what he does. And there's a restoring of creation. But this is unusual because this is something higher, isn't it? This is going above creation and what's the natural order of things. This is transcending earthly normal things. Well, what's happening? Well, the answer, the real key is in what the Lord says to the disciples. He says, be of good cheer. Rejoice. It is I. Do not be afraid. It's me, it's Jesus, your friend and your Lord. But here's the crucial thing. Even if the disciples didn't fully understand at that moment, Jesus was revealing his glory to them. His glory as God. You see, his words, it is I, are more literally, in the original, I am. So he comes on, be of good cheer. I am. Do not be afraid. I am. And what's he declaring to them? His divinity. Who he is. He's God. The sacred name of God that's revealed in the Old Testament, as I was sharing with the children. He is the great I am, the one who is. As he says to Moses, I am who I am. Now, we know from all four Gospels, the Lord several times said things like this. And you have the many I am statements that the Gospel of John gives us. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection of life. And they're all saying the same thing. He's the great I am. Eternal and infinite. All powerful. All sufficient. Everything within himself. and needs nothing. Perfect. Forever and ever. All goodness. All power. All life. So you see what an amazing, extraordinary thing the Lord's revealing in this moment? He's not just a man like us. He's not just a teacher or a prophet. He's the great I Am, the all-sufficient one. God on earth with us. This is why he does this miracle, this striking miracle. It's to make it clear his glory as our creator. I mean, walking on water, being above nature, it's a powerful demonstration of his sovereign power over all the elements of creation. That's something only the creator can do. In the Old Testament scriptures, it says frequently that controlling the sea and the waves is something only God can do. You know, this is something far above the angels or even how pagans considered the idols. It shows there's a unique glory. God alone parts the waters at creation. You heard Job testify. Listen to this as a prophecy. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the seas. Isn't it wonderful how Jesus fulfills that? Psalm 93. Even when the floods, like the floods of Noah, cover the earth, the Lord is on high, mightier still above them all. And of course, we've got the parting of the Red Sea. Walking on water is Jesus showing us who he is. The great I Am. But again, this is for our benefit as disciples, because there's a very practical thing that he's showing us here, that nothing is impossible for him. Here's you and I stuck in our boats in circles, sometimes in intractable problems. I mean, think about what these disciples and apostles would face. They'd have to go on and preach the gospel against the hostile Roman Empire and the hostile Jewish nation. And what resources have they got? There's just half a dozen of them meeting and going out. And I mean, think about some of the problems we know the early churches had. The false religions, the false teachers. Well, humanly speaking, you'd have just thrown the towel in, wouldn't you? You'd have given up. But you know what they could do? Because they could look back at this and go, the great I Am is on our side. We have everything we need in him. Nothing is impossible for our God. That's the lesson for us. And one of the most encouraging things you can ever do as a Christian is just simply remember who your God is. We get so discouraged. We get so cast down. We get so many doubts. Have we forgotten who our God is? The great I Am. We might look at the state of the country, the work of evangelism we want to do, and say, what resources have we got? The great I Am is with us. The one who needs nothing. More than this, do you see how the disciples' trial, this struggle, was actually an opportunity for this glory to be manifested? He sends them into this. He commands them to go into this because he's going to come and meet them in the midst of it in this amazing way. Imagine if there was no storm and they just sailed across, landed on the other side. No extraordinary revelation. Christian, the Lord does ordain troubles on your journey in order to bless you in the end, in order to reveal more of himself to you, so that you can find out for yourself how great he is, so that you will experience his beauty and goodness. If being a Christian was just smooth sailing and bright sunshine all the time, you'd have a very small experience of how awesome your God is. Christian, he's going to lead you into deep waters to show you nothing is impossible for him. It is better to know his glory because you go through the trial than to never know it because the way is easy. It's Daniel in the lion's den who gets to see God's power saving him from the lions. It's his three friends thrown in the fiery furnace who get to have the Son of God walking in it with them. The Lord leads the children of Israel to that hopeless position at the Red Sea, hemmed in by mountains, Pharaoh's army, and a sea. He's led them to an impossible situation. Why? To show his glory over all of it. And so you and I are to learn from this, to have a different perspective on our struggles, on the things that come against us. Christian, God's not led you into it to do you harm, but to bless you and to reveal himself to you. He has not abandoned you. He's going to show you his glory and his greatness in sustaining you and bringing you through it. Because nothing is impossible for I am. If you're in that trouble, if you're stuck in something, Christian, or stuck in a sin, don't just pray to be brought out of it. Pray for God to show his glory. You will surely see it. Trust him. Trust him, Christian. And so then the third mystery is what happens with Peter. So not only does the Lord himself walk on water, but Peter, he grants power to Peter to come and join him. He gets out of the boat. Don't you just love this about Peter? That he is as bold as a lion sometimes and so foolish. But here's a key thought. We've got to understand, it's not that Peter has any miraculous power. He's just a flesh and blood sinner. He's just like you and me. It is not in any way that Peter is special. There's nothing magical about Peter and his faith. What's happening is the Lord's power is holding him up. At every moment, the Lord is miraculously lifting Peter above the waves. And so the mystery is really, why does he then sink? Well, Peter sees the wind, he sees the waves, and he's frightened, and he starts to go down. But if the power is coming from the Lord, why does he let Peter sink? You see what I mean? If the power is the Lord's. Well, again, because the Lord is teaching Peter and us. And he knows what's in Peter's heart. And again, he's demonstrating to him and to all of us that the Christian life is lived by faith. That we walk by faith. The whole Christian life is lived by faith. By trusting in Christ in impossible situations. You see, what the Lord sees in Peter's heart is he sees Peter's faith fail. And he sees the doubt. He was doubting that, wondering if the storm was bigger than Jesus. Oh, the Lord's going to let me sink in this one. I'm going down for sure. There's no hope of this one. It was faith that got him out of the boat and a lack of faith that made him stumble. And the moment the Lord had said, come, Peter should have trusted his word. If Jesus says, come, Peter should trust that. But he looked with his eyes rather than hearing with faith. You see, the Lord permitted all of this. And it's to teach him and us the way to live the Christian life. It's always by faith. Trusting that what Christ says is true. Peter on the waves is in some ways a picture of what the whole Christian life is about. We're always walking in the midst of storms and seas, and we're always, in a sense, in an impossible situation. Spiritual battles, sins. And the Christian life is constantly miraculous, constantly supernatural, that we're sustained in it. And ultimately that he's going to bring us home to heaven. And at every step, you and I, we are upheld by the power of God. And we have to learn to trust. To trust Christ and trust what he says. Not what we can see. What you might see is the circumstances look bad. The problems look huge. The sins look enormous. Don't look at that. But listen with faith to what Jesus says. Christian, you must exercise your faith. Do your sins seem so big? You think they're going to drown you? Oh, you don't know, preacher. You don't know what I've done. Don't look at that. Listen to what Jesus says. He promises all sin is forgiven and that he cleanses all who come to him. Believe it, Christian. Does death seem frightening? Some of us in this church right now with serious illnesses, death may come. It's frightening, but don't look at that. Listen to Jesus. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do the anxieties of life, worries, and is it overwhelming? Listen to the great I am who says, I am with you. And trust him. You see, the whole Christian life is one of miraculously walking by faith. And you'll find he sustains us. And often the Lord doesn't straight away take away the storm. He will show you his glory by making you rise above it, Christian. By giving you peace and faith and a calmness in the midst of an impossible situation. Again, we've got this encouraging perspective on the Christian life. And so often, like Peter, we do take our eyes off the Lord and we fail to trust him and we doubt he's with us. And we need to hear the Lord say to us, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why do you doubt his goodness? Why do you doubt his love for you? But then look at that wonderful thing that happens at the end. When Peter begins to sink, Jesus is right there to grab him. Even when our faith falters, the Lord is faithful. He will never fail you or abandon you. Even when our strength runs out, he has got us safe in his keeping. It's not our hold on him that ultimately counts, but his hold on us. If even you feel like all is lost, it never is. Because the great I am is with you, Christian. Do not be afraid. Trust him. Be of good cheer, Christian. I am is watching over you. I am is with you. Nothing is impossible for him. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are sorry for the weakness of our faith. That often, Lord, when trials come, we do feel so overwhelmed so quickly. And like Peter, we begin to sink. We are sorry, Lord, that so often our faith is weak and we panic and fail to trust you. But Lord, we thank you that you've revealed yourself in this scripture to us. That even when your ways are mysterious and beyond our finding out, we know that we can trust you. That you are the great I am. And that Jesus is our Savior with us and watching over us. And so we pray, Lord, that our faith would grow. May we become strong in faith and give you glory. Even in the midst of trials. Oh Lord, help us to trust you. And we pray, Lord, for anyone who may be here today who perhaps is going through particularly stormy seas. You know the hearts of all, Lord. And we ask you, please, to minister to them. To give them hope and faith. Even in impossible situations that nothing is too hard for you. And so, Lord, we pray that as our faith grows, you would help us to walk through this world, trusting you to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.